This meeting's called to order. Please stand for the pledge. Please remain standing for a moment of silent meditation. Okay. All right, I need a motion for the approval of the minutes for the January 7th and 28th meetings. Tony, Mike, questions, comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. I'm going to turn it over to Superintendent Nolan for recognitions.
For the first recognition, I'd like to ask Mr. Blyberg and Mr. Antonetti to come up. You know, before I introduce our next visitor and guest, to the best of my knowledge, Kayla is the first female Sachem student to attend Annapolis. And I know what a tremendous soccer player she is because my daughter was on the losing end of many matches. But Kayla probably could have gone to any college she wanted to play soccer, and I just think it's incredibly admirable that she's going to Annapolis. So, again, congratulations. Next, we're fortunate to have with us from the Franklin Covey Institute, Mr. Gary McGewey. Gary has been working with our students and staff members and families for the last several years. This week, he's been with us every day in three of our elementary schools up to this point. So he's here tonight to just share a little bit. Gary?
Right here? Is that okay? Can you guys hear me okay? I just wanted to give you a very brief update of what's been going on. As well as doing lots of the training with the schools on this leadership model, I'm fortunate enough to be coaching all the schools. And I've probably been to about 13 of the 18 schools thus far, and every school is performing outstanding. The students are wonderful, the staff is wonderful, administration is wonderful. I'm just so pleased and the way it's been moving forward. And I don't want to get into a workshop here. I know time is sensitive here, but for those, this is a crock pot, and we always tell this is not a program but a process. It's not a microwave, but a crockpot mentality, very slow and steady as we go through this. And really the bottom line is around, we work on culture first. We work on culture, and really this year one for the majority of the schools is we're just working on the environment, leadership environment. We're working on student leadership. We're working on leadership events. And then next year we're going to have more of a focus around academics. We're not ignoring academics this year, but this is really what we're talking about. And one thing, and I'll just share with you, I've been sharing this with all the schools too. I'm a former educator, and I've been former athletic director, and I've been working with Franklin Covey for 16 years. And I've always said this, Stephen Covey did not write the seven habits. Stephen Covey packaged the seven habits. I tell people this is common sense organized. So I've been sharing with the staff, don't call these Covey principles. They're not Covey principles, not the Covey system. It's just light, right? And for those of you who've experienced the Seven Habits workshop, you start to realize this isn't just about me as a professional. It's about me personally as well, me as a parent and as a spouse. And the fact that we have some students from North, I know, are here right now. I mean, it kind of warms me. We had a great session with these guys here and some of the teachers here. So I'm just so excited where it's going. I'm going to be sensitive to time here. I'm here. Any parents who want to talk, we've been doing we did a parent night last night at Tamarack. No, we're at Hiawatha last night. I'm getting to know my schools pretty well. We're at Hiawatha last night. And there's more and more parent evening sessions where we're kind of talking about this leadership model. So hopefully if you hear about one coming up and you have a chance to attend, I'd love to see you. Just get a chance to talk common sense principles, right? So other than that, thank you so much for the time, and appreciate you. Hope to see you soon. Thank you. Thank you.
Anything else?
Nope.
Carol, any visitors?
Nope.
Okay. Okay, we'll move on to business items. I need a motion for bid awards, please. Mike Isernia, Terry Ahern. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
You're welcome, too. Gary, do you have some?
I do.
Okay.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I had a couple of questions. I don't know. I thought we were going to have a little PowerPoint presentation.
I was going to, and then it almost felt like I didn't want to take time. So
okay.
That's why. But please.
All right. I just wanted to know, you said that 13 out of the 18 schools are doing outstanding.
Yeah.
How does that work? How do you measure the progress? And I guess I'm a little confused. What is your actual role in the whole Covey?
My title is Senior Lead Consultant for the North. So I wear a couple of hats. One, I'm a facilitator, so I travel around and do workshops with schools. And then I also am somewhat of a coach for other facilitators to kind of coach them up to be better facilitators. So that's my role. I always talk about the three things that I'm looking for, because this isn't like if a school says, yeah, we want to do this. I mean, they almost have to pre-qualify.
And there's three things that I always suggest for successful implementation. First and foremost, that the administration needs to embrace the process. I don't like the word buy-in, because if you're buying something, I'm selling you something. I'm not selling you anything. We're just talking life. We're talking principles. Secondly, that you consistently work with the staff. The students get this. I'm not concerned about the students. It's the adults we need to keep reminding ourselves about modeling these principles. And third, that we have consistent leadership meetings at the school. Those are the keys to successful implementation. And I did have some slides here. I'd be glad to share them with you. We have a lot of third-party research on some. Typically, what we talk about, what happens right away, discipline referrals go down right away. And I asked the question, why do you think discipline referrals go down? And a lot of times people say, well, the students are taking more responsibility. They're handling, which they are. But I also believe that some educators, they get reconnected to why they chose this profession. Right? I always say this is never a job. You know, job stands for just over broke. This is a profession. And I think they really reconnect to their mission. Because as you know, there's a lot of stuff in education these days that teachers get kind of tired of. And they almost feel, I didn't sign up for this. But they need to remind themselves why they chose this. And I really believe this process really helps them stay centered to why they chose this profession in the first place. But I'd be glad to share this PowerPoint that I just want to get into showing a lot of statistics and all that
right
tonight. That's all I chose not to. But, you know, next year we do focus year two of the process, and there's schools right now like Linwood and Merrimack who've already reached this Lighthouse milestone. But for the other schools, we focus more on academics where students are setting and tracking their own goals, where they're tracking their own progress, where they're holding these leadership notebooks, where they can student-led conferences, and the students are taking on more responsibility of their learning, which I think is every parent is hoping that's what's happening.
So now the taking responsibility as far as their learning or their academics, is that done in the elementary schools and the secondary schools? It's done in both?
Correct. And middle school. Correct, yeah. So we don't call it Leader in Me in middle school. We call it LEAD. Because now they're in middle school, they don't want to hear Leader in Me. You know, I was telling people, this isn't about cute songs and cute bulletin boards. This is really about life and about me being a better person. You know, being a person of character. Any leadership book you read, it's always character first, right? And really, that's what we're talking about, being a principle-centered person. See, it's not enough, and I've been sharing with some of the schools, it's not enough for the kids to be able to recite the seven habits. So what? You know, being proactive. But what does that mean? It means that I'm responsible, that I'm accountable. When they can make that connection, then it means something. And, you know, for what it's worth, 90% of Fortune 100 companies train their employees in this leadership model. So I'm sure most people, you know, have heard of, you know, the book's been out for 25 years. But the way I really like to position it, that if Stephen Covey, you know, he passed away a couple years ago, but he would tell you, I didn't write the book, I just packaged it. So
how is it in the elementary schools, how do the teachers actually implement it into the day? I know that they are very tight, and even in the elementary school we are blocking, so... If it's so tight, and like you had just brought up, teachers now, there's so much on them as far as what they have to do in a day just to even fit in the curriculum. So how are we fitting this in when the teachers are having problem even fitting in the curriculum that they need to fit in?
So it's not another thing to their busy plate. It's not like take away your math and bring out the seven habits. That's not what this is. We talk about being an integrated approach, where you're just infusing this language of leadership into what you're already doing. And it has to be seamless. It can't be forced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bottom line, if I'm not living these principles, if I'm not truly taking responsibility, if I'm not modeling proactive, then, you know, it doesn't really matter what I teach the kids. It's not going to stick. So, you know, Albert Schweitzer said, modeling is not the main means of influencing another. It's the only means of influencing another. So it's just infusing the language into what we're already doing. So don't feel like, okay, we're losing time teaching whatever because we're taking this up. We're just infusing this. I use the term language of leadership. That's really what it is. So.
And then how much time do the teachers, when I know two of our schools now have reached Lighthouse status, correct?
Yes. I use the term Lighthouse milestone. I say it's not a goal. It's not a status. It's a milestone because we're never done. We always want to keep getting better, right? So we're always ascending this mountain of leadership. But you're correct. Two schools have reached Lighthouse Milestone.
So those schools, obviously, and we've heard from some of the schools, they've done more to achieve this goal. They've done more as far as in their school implementing the program. So the other schools, I guess your intention is to get the other schools to get to that point as well.
It's a means and ends discussion. I don't really talk about becoming a lighthouse school. I want it because if we're doing all these great things, what's the end result to the students? Interdependency, independent lifelong learners. That's really what we're after. The lighthouse milestone, that's nice, but that's not really my intent. You know, that's just...
So when they become a lighthouse school, is that do they get an award for that? They get a certification for that? How does that?
They get recognized. There's approximately in the world right now. There's over 2,000 schools that are in the process, and there's about 110 schools in the world that have reached the lighthouse milestone. There is a banner. They are recognized.
And then do they have to get recertified each year? Or
We do ask. It's not like a no more cost, but we do have learned from some schools that who looked at it as a goal, and we've reached it, and then they kind of plateaued a bit. So I think we do a better job of continuing working with the schools and not putting so much emphasis on hitting that, but just continuing. Each year we want to get better, you know. And I think that's true for any organization. We want to keep, as a person, I keep wanting to get better.
So for the administrators and the teachers to be able to bring this back to their school and work with the students and then work with the staff, they have to go through training or workshops that they go away for, and they do those workshops and then bring that information back to the school?
Partly, yeah. We've done most of the training has already been completed with the schools. We, you know, there's like a 2-day seven habits we do. Before school starts or just in that August time frame, and then we do some training like this. I've been doing coaching days this week, but it's not that I'm going into the schools and working with the schools. There's no subs are involved in that.
So you actually go into the classroom with the teachers
I
then?
I don't go into the classrooms, no. Today I did a couple of assemblies with the students. It's kind of fun when you do assembly with kindergarten, second graders. But they all, you know, understand the language of it, and we just talk some leadership. I had an arm wrestle with a second grader yesterday. I do a thing for win-win with Habit 4 with some second grader whose name was Liam, but the kids called him Big Daddy. I arm wrestle with Big Daddy, it's about culture for the year one. And, you know, I always said that the deepest human need is to be valued. When we're valued, we want to contribute, whether it's in a classroom, whether it's in a relationship, whether it's at work, right? And in the corporate world, 70% of people don't quit their jobs, they quit their bosses. I mean, that's a fact. So for these students to begin getting these life skills on the skill of listening, to get that at this age, because most of us, we're terrible listeners, we're great responders, but we're not good listeners for the most part. So if we get these life skills now at this age, I think it's just I think most parents would be just very pleased to have this opportunity.
Okay. That's all I have. Thank you.
Those are great questions, by the way.
Tony?
Thank you.
Seriously.
Yeah. Excuse me. We've been, 2 years into this now, about, approximately?
It varies, but I think when I was at Patchogue, it was, 4 years?
Yeah, what happened, Tony, was I think it was about 4 years ago where it was first introduced. And each building, we've told them, Gary said, it's crockpot, and
right.
It's not, you're not competing with another building, and, you know, they're embracing it and at their own pace.
Where, let's say an outsider would come in, first question, are there visible results? And if there are, where does an outsider or a parent or a school board member notice or see that results?
I would say within 30 seconds of walking into a school. 30 seconds of walking into a school. You can feel whether it's a leadership school or not. It feels different. It feels warm. I mean, the environment is inviting.
We're looking at making better citizens, better students.
Correct.
Does this result in a... And I'll just go in one direction. You said academics are coming up. Do we see in 2 or 3 years a definite difference in their academic achievements?
I have some studies here that this isn't Franklin Covey saying, this is an outside source saying that, that student achievement has gone up because of the working on the culture first and academics. And most most thought leaders say the same thing. If you get the culture piece down, academics follow.
Right.
And there's been research on that.
Okay.
So the short answer would be yes.
Yes, thank you.
Any other questions? Yeah. There was this PowerPoint, and then there was one you had previously sent us. Can you resend them all to us?
Yeah. Slides, because I think you'd appreciate some of the research. And I just didn't want to be kind of boring right now.
Let us be boring.
Yeah.
Great. Gary, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Anything else?
Thank you.
We have the motion and a second on bid awards. It was Mike Isherney or Terry Ahern. Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Go ahead, Dorothy.
We're on the bid awards.
Bid awards, yes, sir. Ma'am.
Bruce, the last one on here is for the Universal Pre-K, and I saw in the back of information that's for scope. So their RFP was accepted. So we're going with them as long as we get the approval for the grant, is that?
Correct. As long as we get the $600,000 grant that we can provide.
Okay. When do we find out about that, the grant? Okay. Thank you.
Who knows? Yeah, right after our budget vote. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. We have a consent agenda for personnel items 4A1 through 4C3. Motion, please. Mike Isernia, Rob Scavo. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Just want to take a second. We have Mary Fowler in the audience tonight. She's assuming the role over at Seneca. Want to wish her good luck and thank you. That takes us up to the middle of page 5. We have consent agenda items for 5-1-1 through 5-1-10. Motion, please. Mike Isernia or Rob Scavo. Questions or comments? Terry?
For 5-1-6. Could you just, I don't know who would explain it. It would be Paul.
Basically, the College Board's beginning a pre-AP pilot program.
Mm-hmm.
Sachem School District was selected as one of the districts in this region. And basically the agreement is for them to share materials with our teachers and vice versa, and that the materials stay confidential until the program is out in public. That's really what the agreement is about.
And then once it's public, it's associated with the district's name and...
It's a collaborative work.
Okay.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. We have a 5-2 donation, Vacuum Instrument Corporation. Can I have a motion, please? Mike Isernia. Anybody second? Dorothy Roberts. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Donation from Home Depot. Can I have a motion, please? Mike Isernia, Terry Ahern. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. We accept those in gratitude. We can send some out to them. Thank you. Appointment of individual nurses for the 14-15 school year. Can I have a motion, please? Mike Isernia, Terry Ahern. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Approval of stipulation of settlement for non-instructional employee. Can I have a motion, please? Mike Isernia. Second. Terry Ahern. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Approval of budget transfers, $50,000 or greater. Can I have a motion, please? Mike Isernia, Terry Ahern. Questions or comments?
One question.
Go ahead, Rob.
Bruce, the $61,390 to JC Broderick.
Does that have anything to do with the rain?
The August 13th flood. This is exactly what it's for.
Was there any reimbursement from insurance?
Oh, we got $1 million reimbursed, but our expenditures were greater than $1 million.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. acceptance of the proposed 15-16 school calendar. Can I have a motion, please? Mike Isernia, Terry Ahern. Questions or comments?
Jim, obviously this year we've gone back and forth with the calendar. It's a little bit different than the years prior. Can you just explain so people
sure.
realize?
What happened is Labor Day actually falls late next year. So in order to get the 180 days in, not only did Labor Day fall late a week into September, but in the month of September we have three additional days off because of Jewish holidays. And as we've experienced the last several years, if we don't get days in before the snow comes, you know, then we're really behind the eight ball. So almost every district is now coming in. To the best of my knowledge, they're all coming in the week before Labor Day.
Mike?
Jim, also BOCES is also starting on this calendar, so our kids who go to BOCES will be starting when they
should. I'm not certain that Eastern and Western Suffolk BOCES have adopted the exact same calendar. One of the BOCES I know, they're using, I want to say, Tuesday, Wednesday as staff development days, that the students are not coming in. But again, when you do that, they don't have off the top of my head, I'm thinking of days like Holy Thursday, they don't have off, a few days that we have on the calendar that we have off. And the other advantage to that, Mike, is, as we've experienced, if you have those additional days built into the calendar after the snow season, you can lose those. If you don't have those built in, now you're taking days off of, you know, next year's calendar. There's not a full Easter week. It's Passover week, so you'd start to lose that as well. But I'm not really sure about – BOCES will definitely be open, but I'm not sure for students.
Okay, I noticed, too, I think in 2016 there's a very wide gap between Easter and – then our spring break.
Correct. It's the last week in March and then the last week in April or something like that.
Okay, so we're gonna get notice out, like maybe even make a Connect Ed call.
Absolutely.
Once it's adopted, that people take note of that.
Correct. Yep.
Okay.
We should make a Connect Ed call, post it on the website.
Sure.
Just make sure it's on.
And also, okay, one other question. Jim, I think when we looked at it too, because of that April break, I think when the high school kids get back, they'll be taking their APs when they get back.
Correct.
So what are we thinking of how we're going to approach that?
Actually, I think it's a similar situation this year. Yeah.
But I don't think it's as tight, is it?
I think it's the Monday we come back.
Is it?
Yeah.
So how do the teachers...
Right.
Don't say that, Paul. So how do the teachers prepare the... They just go over it the week prior to that then? And then do they give the students things to go over during that April break to be ready for the APs?
I'm sure they'll be doing their review prior to that, long before that, and then get additional work to work on over the break. Those students that are dedicated will certainly put forth the effort to maintain.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Approval of field trip for the 14-15 school year. Motion, please. Mike Isernia, Rob Scavo. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Appointment of Chief of Election Inspectors. Motion, please. Terry Ahern, Mike Isernia. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Appointment of Assistant Clerks and Election Inspectors. Motion, please. Terry Ahern, Mike Isernia. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Nominating petitions. Can I have a motion, please? Mike Isernia, Terry Ahern. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Open voter registration. It's an information-only item detailing open voter registration. Notice of public hearing, information only. The annual budget proposal will be on Wednesday, May 6th at Samoset Middle School at 7:30. Rental of voting machines for annual budget vote and election trustees. Motion, please. Mike Isernia, Terry Ahern. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Notice of annual budget vote and election of trustees. Motion, please. Mike Isernia, Terry Ahern. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Policy 6415, wire transfer, second reading. Motion, please. Terry Ahern, Rob Scavo, questions or comments?
So,
yes, ma'am.
Do we need on this?
What's that? This is a two reading, right? The second reading.
Right?
Yes. Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Appointment of 2015 special election summer school supervisors. Motion, please. Terry, Rob Scavo, Dorothy Roberts. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Approval of translators interpreters for the 14-15 school year. Motion, please. Terry Ahern, Mike Ashernia. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Approval of SAT preparation program teachers. Motion, please. Mike Ashernia, Tony Falco. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Recommendation on from Committee on Special Education. Motion, please. Terry Ahern, Mike Ashernia. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Monthly reports. Any questions on the damage loss summary? Nope. Beautiful. Termination on preschool education. Motion, please. Nope. Terry. Second. Dorothy. Nope, no vote on that. I'm sorry. Apologize. Board of Education subcommittees. Any subcommittees want to address? Legislative Committee? Sal, Dana? Oops, sorry about that, guys.
There will be a rally in Saxton Middle School in Patchogue on March 5th, which we are starting to get the word out to the community. It is open for anyone and everyone interested in education and our children, and so we're hoping to get a large sachem showing. And so that's March 5th from 6:30 to 8:30 at Saxton Middle School. And after that, we'll see, you know, what we hear, what you know these individuals have to say, and from that point, we'll formulate a game plan to see how we move forward. A couple of weeks ago, Sal and I went to the legislative breakfast in Longwood School District, along with Sal Trippi and Mike Ashernia, and I think that the takeaway message, and I think we'll all agree, the takeaway message was we really need to reach the governor, that all letters should be directed to the governor because all of our elected officials, their hands are tied right now, and their advice was to continue writing letters, continue reaching out, and continue fighting for our kids through the governor's office.
Good evening. During last week's off session or winter session, I visited the office of Assemblyman Graff, and in a conversation with him and Doug Smith, I was able to develop a relationship with Kathy Nolan. I called her office early last week and was able to speak to the manager because she was on home official duties. And he arranged for us to be able to be there on March the 4th at 11:30. So we have a committee of people going there from various sections. Mr. Schricker, the president of the SCTA. We hope to get someone from the SACHM Administrators Administration Organization, Mrs. DiPaolo, if she can come. I'm going to be going there. We're going to have someone from the PTA Executive Council to be there. Mr. Mike and Sarah will be there, hopefully. And we're going to go together. And we'd like to be able to arrange to leave early so we can get there about 10 o'clock, which gives us an hour and a half to also at the same time divide ourselves up into various offices and visit their offices and give them the points ahead of time and then meet with Mrs. Nolan at 11:30. If she gives us an hour, which would be a lot of time, we'll be able to stay around for a couple hours after that while there's still session, see more people from the committees of higher ed. And the result of that will be that it'll be a trip very productive and we'll be able to report back to the school board what took place with Mr. and Sarah as also a spokesman for the board. I want to thank everybody that's cooperating. Mr. Schrook and I met last week also. We discussed some strategies as how we could do the job more effectively, working as a community team. Since we are a family, I figured no better way to show that up there in Albany, the family consists of people who are administrators, people who are on the board, people who are on the outside, PTA members, so that they can see there's a consensus here of agreement that we know where the problem is. This is one of the things I think that these people up in Albany have been taking advantage of. For the last 2 weeks, I have been watching very intensely, as many hours as I could during the day, of what's been going on. This, today I listened to 3 hours of Mr. de Blasio meeting with the budget hearings. It was like a dog and pony show. Some people may not know what that means. It was a situation where everybody was so cordial to him, I thought he was going to be given the keys to the kingdom. Anyway, if that's where we are now, Mr. Trippi and members of the board, and we're looking forward to having a very productive time at that meeting. And Mrs. Patton didn't tell you, Patton. I know.
Something with the
Deborah.
Pain. Yeah.
Anyway, but seriously, she's going to talk about empowerment. Kelly Short and Dana is going to be up at Albany with the PTA executive of the state, and then they're going to go to Washington and meet with the PTA at the federal level. So you can see how the PTA is getting very, very empowered to do the kinds of things that has long been due. Thank you.
You'll have Mr. Insurnia back for the 7 o'clock meeting, right?
Excuse me?
You'll have Mr.
If we leave there at 2 o'clock, the ETA here will be about 7 okay. at the latest.
I'll leave 1:30.
Take it into traffic on the road and whoever's driving.
Okay. Thank you.
You know, okay. Sal, if I could.
Any just questions?
Before
yes.
you go away.
Any questions for them?
A couple of
oh, wow.
Right.
Questions. I welcome those. Go ahead.
Mr. Nicosi is so involved, he forgot to tell everybody who Kathy Nolan is if they don't know.
Oh, yes. Can I tell you that?
Go ahead.
Can we stop you?
Kathy Nolan comes from my old neighborhood where I lived in Brooklyn for 28 years. I know her territory. I lived there till I was 28 years old, and she wasn't there when I was there. But basically, the reason why we got such a fast response is when I did call the office and speak to a Mr. Natal, who's from Italy, we graciously started to talk Italian. And before you know it, he started to say, where are you from? I says, I'm from Brooklyn originally. And in the nature of the conversation, he says, gee, you know, he says, you seem to know the issues and all that. I says, yes, we've been working on this for the last 17 years. So with that, he says, I'll get back to you. And sure enough, 2 days later, the meeting was set. So that's who Mrs. Nolan is.
No. What's the title?
What's the title?
Who? Kathy Nolan is the head of?
Oh, yes. Oh. I see.
Because
you get to be so familiar with it, you don't realize.
Right.
Okay. Kathy Nolan has been in the Assembly for 25 years. She is the chairperson of the Education Committee of the State Assembly, which at the present time has 104 assemblymen that are Democrats and 46 that are Republicans. But most of the good Republicans that we know, familiar, when I say good, not that all, they're not good, but the ones we know here, Mr. Graff, Mr. Carabino, are all on the Education Committee, and Dean Murray. Yeah. So we're going to look like we're going to have a very good session.
Depending on,
I apologize for my blustering.
Depending on the outcome of this meeting, I don't know if we're up for the suggestion, but depending, and we'll feel her out when we're there, she may want to hear from us directly, Jim, from you and maybe some of our neighboring superintendents. Would you care if we invited her to come out and meet with you?
That's a great idea. Just so you know, I probably, you know, like when you watch television, Sal, and there's like a disclaimer that goes along the bottom?
You mean the trailers?
Yes.
And?
Never mind. But anyway, I was asked to join a group of Nassau, Suffolk, and Lower Hudson superintendents for really the same cause. The one thing that, and yes, I think that we should invite her, and I'm positive she would come and meet with folks. My one concern, my personal concern is, and I shared this with some of the people earlier tonight, as difficult as it may be at times, we have to remain as respectful and responsible as possible, because we have been warned by virtually every elected official that our governor can be a very vindictive person. So selfishly, from my own position, I just need to let folks know that although I certainly would never stop advocating for Sachem, I would never want to say or do anything that could potentially jeopardize Sachem.
No, we wouldn't do that.
So
we're going to be very, very
even with our letters, I think it's important. I think it's very important that we write letters, and so certainly our local elected officials have been working tirelessly to try to help our cause. But even when I sit at the Suffolk superintendent's meetings, it really is apples and oranges. You know, it's I'm sitting in a room with superintendents from all over the county and then ultimately the island, and no two districts are even remotely alike. And we also then have to be aware that there's probably a huge difference between Sachem, Malone, New York, Messina, Red Creek. So, as Gary mentioned earlier, I think first to understand does not mean that we're not going to advocate for Sachem, but we just have to be very, very careful in our approach.
Professional, courteous, but honest. Jim, you said an important thing that I just want to make sure the community is aware. All of our local elected officials have been extremely supportive of the predicament we're in. The bright spot of this whole lousy predicament we're in is the dialogue with all of our local officials, Al Grafton, Murray, Senator Boyle, Croce, Flanagan. That dialogue has been constant, going back and forth with feedback being received on a regular basis, expressing their frustration and their sympathies for what we're going through and their commitment that they're advocating for us. So I just want to make sure in any letter writing, those guys get the message. They're working on our behalf. I think, you know, the people outside of our local district, people perhaps from either upstate districts or the governor's office itself, those are really the people that need to be I don't want to say targeted, but the recipients of our professionally written, courteous letters demanding GEA be eliminated.
And just along those lines, just that was going to be the brief update to the board. We are constantly meeting with folks. Just the other day, Bruce, Ron, and myself met with John Flanagan. I had the opportunity to meet with Al Graff, Tom Croce. It's ongoing. It never ends. The same folks come to the superintendent's meetings, so there's a ton of dialogue. I played phone tag today with Al. He called me early this morning. I was in a meeting. I reached out to Doug Smith, so he's going to try to facilitate that conversation as soon as possible. So there are a lot of people working hard for us.
Yes, and we must be grateful that they have been very responsive to getting seeing that we get identified as a school in need. Thank you for your attention.
Good, Dorothy.
Sal, when you meet with them and you bring – and Mike, you're going – Dana, you're going too, right?
Monday I'm going. They're going Wednesday.
Okay. Is your main focus or the main emphasis when you go there is to talk about our financial situation here and really not getting our fair share from the state? Is it more – that's the main point and then bringing up the GEA, or is there any going to be any talk about Common Core?
Well, yes. Yesterday I visited the office. We had PowerPoints from last year, which we distributed to all the people that were writing letters to the people last year. All we did in updating was add the GEA, which is now an issue this year, and I wrote it out so that we're not going to be doing it ad hoc. We're going to just read it off from the letter that we wrote because it shows who's coming and the talking points. I says, "Dear Chair, I'll just read it to the introduction. Dear Chairperson Catherine Nolan, thank you for scheduling our committee to meet with you this morning. Listed below are the talking points that spell out our concerns relating to the receiving of state aid from the legislative and executive department to our district." And then we list the talking points, and then at the end, we thank her for it, the consideration that you can give us. And then if she has any questions, we'll answer them based on what we've been saying here. We're not going to divert from the script.
And then out of this, what would be your main goal to take away from this, just to get more attention?
Well, the main goal will be that once we get, we know that we have, I had addressed all the PTAs to get the number of people on the state, including the board members. Mm-hmm. And if they wrote that letter, mm-hmm. if they made that phone call, if they wrote that letter again at this particular juncture last month and made another phone call, they certainly know who we are, that we're consistent. And we're speaking as one family. We're not diverse. We're not sending messages that are going to be different to the members of the committee. What we're doing is, I don't want to be pedantic about the word, but we're inculcating them to realize that we've been consistently working in unity as a committee of people from the community. And that's why we're going tomorrow with the people from the various people from this community. It's not like one person's going up there and saying one thing and another person saying another thing. We're speaking today that we're in concert that one of the biggest issues here is that we have not gotten our share, and we've been listening very carefully to Mr. Singer and the dilemma that we're in financially, that if this doesn't happen, this happens, and all that kind of stuff. And everybody here is involved about our children first and foremost, whether it's the teachers, administrators, PTA, people from the community that are in business. We know that our children deserve a good education, and unless we get the money, we're not going to be able to do that. And that's not the thing we want to do. We don't want to have any teacher staff loss this year. In fact, we want to seek the status quo, if not even better, because we deserve it. We've paid our dues for the GEA for the last 5, 6, 7 years. It's time to pay back. And I think that's fair play. And with what has been going on in Washington too, but also in Albany, what's been going on in Albany has been the fact that we've seen so many indictments of people in the assembly. We know the dynamics of what Mrs. Nolan, who was there for 25 years and wanted to be a candidate for the speakership. I know the dynamics. That's why I've been watching the news and listening to 116 on Albany. And I know that she's not a happy camper. But I'm not going to tell her that. I'm just going to realize that that's the way things are.
Thank you for that, Sal.
All right. Thank you.
No.
You know, Dorothy, just if I could follow up, though, the one thing that I can share with you is, there hasn't always been 100% agreement with certainly the folks from Long Island and the folks from upstate and, when it comes to the foundation aid and things like that. But the one consistent – well, actually, there's two throughout the state, through the State Superintendents Association. The number one priority is GEA in every corner of the state. And the other one, well, two, one is, the state's new mandate, and I'll say an unfunded mandate in educating children who are in a transient population and the timeline by which we need to do that. And the third one really from every corner of the state is the governor's attack on educators. So those three things are consistently rallied around throughout the state.
I think, Jim, I think also the New York City contingent is really focused on getting the money they should have gotten out of the court settlement. So I'm sure there's a battle going on there. One thing I think we need to point out to Kathy Nolan is that not only where we are now and how we got here from the past GEA adjustments and all, but also if we allow these formulas to run state aid runs the way they are currently calculated, what would happen based on what Bruce just told us? What we'd be negative $25 million, right? So, I mean, that just shows you how preposterous that formula really is in a real life situation. So, I think she needs to hear that we need some political influence on that.
Well, we've met. Yeah. I mean, in the last 6 years, we've met. I can't even tell you how many times with different folks from Albany and our local elected officials, and we've really yet to have anybody who's able to explain the whole foundation aid formula. So,
fantastic.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything from the advisory committee, the audit committee, or the budget advisory committee? No? Okay. Jim, I think we covered a lot of it, but is there anything else you want to add to the updates to the board? No? Okay. Board goals, any questions or comments on board goals? Carol, any visitors? Future agenda items? Douglas?
Just a piece of information if Bruce can get it to the board, if the rest of the board is acceptable with it. The amount of money that we spent in the 2012-2013 school year, 2013-2014, and then what we have budgeted for this year, 14-15, for preventative maintenance. I know we've been reduced. That was one of the areas that we reduced quite a bit at one point. Would you be able to get that to us? Is that a hard?
5 seconds.
Yes.
Okay. So you can get that to us tomorrow or then?
Sure.
Okay.
Mike, I show you.
Jim, a couple of maybe they're related items. First, would it be possible, if not at the next meeting, at the following meeting, to get an update on how our drug intervention program is off and running that we kicked off the other day. And also with regard to what our plans are for if we have a measles problem, hopefully knock wood, we won't have that, but what the district is doing to check on our immunization status and all, we appreciate that. Unless you have other budget information.
Tony, do you have some? Anybody else have any other future agenda items? Okay. Our next meeting is scheduled for March 4th at 7:30. The board will now adjourn to go to executive session for personnel items and real estate matters. Motion to adjourn. Rob, Mike, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Let's go. Thank you very much.